The Lord be with you. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question that the lawyer asks Jesus. What must I do? And in response to this question, Jesus tells a story. He tells a story about people who must do things. And the story starts off with a man who is traveling down a notoriously dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and the man falls into the hands of robbers who strip him, beat him, and leave him half dead. And as that man is lying in a ditch, a priest walks by. A man of God, a leader in the religious community, walks by, and this priest has many things that he must do. This priest must lead worship, must teach Bible study, must get the AV system working before worship starts. And because the priest must do all these things, there are things the priest must not do. He must not ritually defile himself by touching a potentially dead corpse. He must not put his own life at risk because there are people who depend on him, and so he must not get involved in a situation where there are potentially robbers involved. And so when he sees the man who's lying there in a ditch, the priest passes by on the other side. And then a Levite comes along, and a Levite is also a religious professional. A Levite works in the temple. They're not ordained, but they do a lot of acts of service for the religious community. And this Levite also has things that he must do. He must do his job. He must prepare the choir to sing. He must prepare the service project. He must lead the congregation in a creek swim, which leaves from the parking lot at 1 o'clock. And because the Levite must do these things, he must not take on more than he can handle, lest he become overwhelmed and be unable to do all those other things that he must do. And if it seems like I'm picking on religious people, it's because Jesus is. In this parable, by naming the priest and the Levite two religious leaders who do nothing to help the man who has been robbed, Jesus is naming the religious people as the ones who are not loving their neighbors. And he's pointing us out because religious people, we want to do the right thing, right? We want to please God. And so it is precisely a religious person who asks Jesus, "What must I do?" And even when we know that the answer is simply to love God and our neighbor, we say, okay, but we want to do it right, so give us details, because there's a lot of people out there, so who exactly is my neighbor, and when do I know that I've loved them successfully? And in that moment, love, it becomes a checklist. Love becomes a checklist of committee meetings and service projects, a checklist of expectations and obligations, a checklist that is so long it tangles our feet and trips us up until we want to make sure we don't go anywhere near someone who might add to it. And because of that, it's not only that when we see someone lying on the street, we pass by on the other side. It's that when that friend who calls us, that friend who's always kind of needy and we see it's them, we say, well, you know what, I'm not going to answer the phone right now. Or that family member who seems to have problems in their lives no matter what year it is. Well, maybe we lose touch with that person. Or maybe we stop paying attention to all the things that are wrong in our society because if we open our eyes to them, well, that's one more thing that we must take care of. And we have enough already, and we know that if we add a single thing more, we will be overwhelmed and we will not meet a single one of those expectations or obligations. In our first reading today from the book of Amos, we hear about this man named Amos who grew up in the southern kingdom of Judah but goes to the northern kingdom of Israel because God has put a word in his heart to preach against the injustice in that nation. To preach against the way that God has measured that nation and has found them wanting in terms of loving their neighbor as themselves. And so Amos condemns the king, the leader of that nation, and says God's judgment will come if they don't change their ways. But in Israel, there's also a priest named Amaziah. And Amaziah is a professional, right? He's got a job, and like all professionals, he has his list of things he must do, but he works for the king. And so the king is the one who decides what's on that must-do list, and first on that must-do list is don't talk bad about the king. Next on that must-do list is keep the peace and maintain morale. And third on that piece is don't shake the status quo. And so when Amaziah hears the word of God that Amos has to say, Amaziah's response is stop talking. Stop talking because I have a must-do list and everything you're saying is in complete contradiction to what's on my must-do list. And so he says to Amos, you're fired. Go back south across the border where you came from and don't ever come back. But Amos's response is to say, Mr. Priest, I think you're confused. Because that must-do list that you have, that's your list, not mine. And he says, you can't fire me because I don't work for you. He says, I'm not a prophet by profession. He said, I'm not even the son of a prophet, which means a student of a prophet. He says, I didn't go to seminary. He says, I am a herder of sheep and a dresser of sycamore trees. I am a rancher and a farmer. That's all I am. But the word of God came to me and said, you have to preach out against the injustices in your nation. And Amos said, I realized I was free to do so. And so I did. Because what Amos realizes is that while he may have obligations, while he may have obligations to the sheep of his flock and to the trees of his orchard, he also had freedom. He had freedom to hear what God was calling him to do in that moment and to act in the way that he knew how to do it. And to say in the parable that Jesus tells us, it is the Samaritan who recognizes that he has that freedom also. Now, a Samaritan is similar to a Jewish person. They worship the same God, but they have slightly different scriptures. They only use the first five books of the Bible, and they worship God in different places than Jewish people did. And so from our perspective, we might think a Samaritan is to a Jewish person the way a Muslim person or a Jewish person is to a Christian. And this Samaritan, he doesn't have the same must-do list as the priest or the Levite, but he does have a must-do list. Right, this Samaritan is traveling on a long journey, and he is traveling with a pack animal that is laden with supplies. This Samaritan is a man of means, and you don't become a person of means unless you have obligations and expectations which you meet. He too has a must-do list. And his must-do list prevents him from helping the man who has been robbed in many ways. His must-do list prevents him from staying more than a single night with that man. And because of that, it prevents him from seeing that man's healing process to the very end. The Samaritan's must-do list prevents him from providing an escort to make sure that man never again falls into the hands of robbers. It prevents him from rounding up a posse and going and finding those bandits and getting the man's stuff back. Yeah, the Samaritan has a must-do list that prevents him from doing so much to help the Samaritan. But instead of focusing on what he must do and being overwhelmed and passing by on the other side like the others did, the Samaritan realized he was also free to do things. The Samaritan realized he was free to come near the man and just see what was wrong with him. The Samaritan realized that when the man was wounded, he had oil and wine which he could pour into the man's wounds to cleanse and strengthen them. The Samaritan realized that he was free to give this man a ride to the nearest hotel and that he was free to take out his credit card and give it to the clerk and say, let this man stay here until he's healed. Yes, there is so much that the Samaritan was not able to do for the man who was robbed. But instead of focusing on what he must do and be overwhelmed by it, the Samaritan focused on what he was free to do, and he did it with generosity. And in that way, he loved his neighbor. Because love is not a checklist. Love is a relationship. which is why at the end of the parable, Jesus asks, which of these three people was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the answer is not the man who paid for a hotel room. The answer is the one who showed mercy. Because Jesus isn't giving us all a personal ministry in this parable that we all have to spend our day driving around looking for people who've been beat up and robbed so we can take them to a hotel. That's not what Jesus is doing with this story. Jesus tells us this story because the truth of the matter is the person who is robbed is the person who asks, "What must I do?" Because the moment we ask, "What must I do to God?" in that moment, we have been robbed. We have been robbed by the belief that love is a checklist. We have been robbed of our joy and of our freedom. We have been stripped of hope, and we have been left with half the life that Jesus promises us. And so when we find ourselves in that state asking, "What must I do?" Jesus becomes our Good Samaritan. It is Jesus who draws near to us. It is Jesus who binds our wounds, who pours out oil upon our brokenness, anointing us as prophets and kings, giving us strength to lead. It is Jesus who pours out the wine of his blood to cleanse our brokenness from sin. It is Jesus who carries us to his Father's house, to that place of healing, and it is Jesus who pays the bill so that we might stay there forever, never worrying what we might have to do to earn it, but instead rejoicing that there is room enough there for everyone and we are free to welcome them in. It is Jesus who rescues us from the power of darkness. Darkness, because instead of looking at our neighbor, we look at a checklist, thinking that's what love is. It is Jesus who carries us and transfers us into his own kingdom, where love is understood to be a relationship that starts with gratitude and joy for all the hope that we have laid up in heaven. Now I know that each and every one of you have a really long must-do list this week. But I want you to know that God has not put a single item on that must-do list. Because God doesn't want you walking through life looking at a checklist. God wants you walking through life looking at your neighbor and asking yourself not what must you do, but what are you free to do with joy, to love and show mercy in gratitude to all the things that Jesus has done for you. Amen.